All right, good afternoon. We're going to get started. So can you hear me now? You hear me well back there? Good. So my name is Augusto Valdez. I've been in the Windows Phone division for about 5 years, so I have a little bit of experience in Windows Mobile, Windows Phone now. And what we were going to be talking about today is Windows Phone and how to use it to collaborate using Exchange, SharePoint, Link with inside an enterprise environment. The talk today is going to be focused about the business productivity aspects of the phone and how that integrates back into Exchange Server, SharePoint, and Link. And what I'll do is I'll probably spend a good chunk of time showing you some of those business productivity features in the phone itself, and then we'll talk about some of the considerations that needs to happen on the backend system and how that works all together. Hopefully by the end I'll leave some time for questions. Earlier today, we did a session on what's new on Windows Phone, and we talked about Windows Phone 8 and the futures. This talk is going to be more specific into what we have today available with Windows Phone 7.5. And all the scenarios that I'm going to describe here are, of course, going to carry over into Windows Phone 8 as well, with potentially new enhancements that we'll be announcing more closer to the availability of the product itself by then. So what I would like to do is I would like to start by saying that when we created Windows Phone, we, from the beginning, knew that we needed to create it in a way where it will address the business scenarios and business productivity scenarios that we'll have on the enterprise. And one of the key things that we were looking at was to see what are the things that are most prevalent into organizations when we're thinking about business productivity. And those things are basically access to SharePoint, which is one of the servers that is growing at the fastest pace as Microsoft. Integrating with Exchange, which is also one of the mail systems more with biggest deployments in the enterprise. And then finally as well, to create an experience that included all the requirements and needed and needs that a typical Office user will have, since we have close to 1 billion users of Office around the world today. So we built the product. We built Windows Phone 7, and then we increased it with Windows Phone 7.5, and we're going to keep working on that for Windows Phone 8 to address those enterprise requirements. Very good integration with SharePoint, built-in EAS capacity to work together with Exchange Server, and Office applications preloaded on the phone to provide the business productivity scenarios that users require to basically do the things that they need to do when they are in the organization. So these things were some things that we were having as design principles when we were building up Windows Phone 7. And as we moved into Windows Phone 7.5 and as we move in Windows Phone 8 in the future, these are going to be our design principles of how we build the phone from the business productivity perspective. Now, the other aspect that is really important to us is to consider this tension or this consumerization of IT concept, which is basically driving this tension in between users and IT professionals. Users trying to bring their own devices or the devices that they feel more comfortable with to the organization, and IT having to support those scenarios to allow these users to bring those type of phones into the organization and let them be productive. And we build also Windows Phone with this in mind, and we've been doing different things to try to accommodate those things as we see, and Gartner and some other analysts are predicting that this is going to keep increasing. There's going to be more and more people trying to bring their own devices into the organization, and the role of IT is to basically decide what they want to do. They want to let them come and be productive, or have a more draconian type of approach where we block them out and try to figure out a way to provide them tools to actually do what they need to do. So what we are trying to do with Windows Phone throughout the different iterations that we have released of Windows Phone in the market is to try to provide those tools for business users to be productive and also to feel comfortable with the phone, but at the same time giving capabilities to IT to be able to embrace those phones with inside the organization and secure them, etc. And we've done that from the beginning based on the built-in support that we have with Exchange and SharePoint and things like that. And we are taking now into the next level with the announcements that we have done with Windows Phone 8, adding things like, for example, full device encryption, enterprise management, and capabilities like that. And what is also being predicted is that this trend is going to continue. And obviously, everybody's seeing now, this is not news for anybody now. Phones and smartphones are becoming more and more and more prevalent inside all the type of organizations, and we need to provide a solution that addresses those needs. And Both analysts and the press are actually looking at these things. The press is seeing and perceiving what the benefits are from Windows Phone perspective and what is the momentum that we're getting in there. Also, enterprise customers who are adopting Windows Phone 7 since its inception about 18 months ago, they're seeing the benefits as well of using or providing to their business users a phone that allows them to be productive, to utilize what they already are familiar with, like Outlook on the phone, similar to the Outlook that we have on the PC, Office on the phone, similar to the Office that we have on the PC, and provide those capabilities so people can be productive while they are not probably sitting on their desk or at the hour times inside the company. And they see, for example, that us allowing to provide access to SharePoint and services like that also allows people to collaborate better and be able to be more productive when they are away from their desks. And then also from the momentum perspective, what we see on the marketplace is that also Windows Phone has a very interesting growth in the last 18 months since we actually announced the product into the market. And today, after only 18 months, we have more than 100,000 applications available in the marketplace. So it's one of the fastest. It's actually the fastest growing marketplace in the market. It has grown and achieved the number of 100,000 applications in marketplace faster than any other platform when they achieve that particular milestone. And we are going to keep improving this rate by having very familiar tools for developers and ISVs to create applications that can go into the marketplace. So we're pretty excited about the situation that we have with the market today with Windows Phone and the place that we're going to be taking it into the future. Now, specifically to business, the things that we've basically focused to drive value proposition and the business value to enterprises with Windows Phone is that we focus very specifically in these areas to actually provide solutions to enterprise customers. Like, for example, the capabilities of having Outlook Mobile and Office Mobile built in into the phone. That is something that comes in, you don't need to acquire anything, you don't need to go to any type of marketplace to get an Office viewer or something like Office. We do include Office embedded into the phone, it's part of it, and I'll show you that in a few minutes in a demonstration. The second thing is that it works with your Windows or Microsoft infrastructure. So if you already have Exchange Server or SharePoint Server deployed into the organization, Windows Phone is going to work with that natively. Same if you have, say, for example, technology like Link for communications. Windows Phone has support for all those things and will continue to support those things in a very native way with inside the phone. So you can take advantage of those investments that you have done in your infrastructure to extend to a bigger number of users within inside the organization, not just the desktop users or not just the laptop users, but also to the phone users or device users where they can actually have access to those documents in SharePoint, to those corporate emails, access to contact calendars, et cetera, things like that. So we're going to be focusing into those areas, and those are the things that we're going to be talking about throughout the day. And what I will do is I'll give you a little bit of a demonstration of a scenario that basically takes advantage of all those productivity enhancements that we have with Outlook Mobile and Office Mobile included into it. And then, as I said, I'll talk about how do we work to integrate and what are the requirements that we have in the backend system to integrate to the infrastructure that you might already have into your organization. So from the perspective of what is what we have available today with Windows Phone 7.5, well, what we had from the beginning with Windows Phone 7 and then what we have added for Windows Phone 7.5, these are some of the capabilities that we had with email and documents and notes when we made available Windows Phone 7. So basically the email experience is very consistent to what we have in Windows, in the Windows client and in Office, and allows me to basically filter my email by multiple different variables like unread, flagged, urgent. I can sort and scan and manage my work and personal email with just one tool. I can view and manage email requests just coming into my inbox, similar to what I do in Outlook. Also manage my personal and work calendars in just one place, so we can actually have a combination of those things in there. And we also added support for multiple Exchange Server accounts. So if you had two or three companies that you actually connect to an Exchange Server, or you provide services to multiple different companies and you want to have multiple different Exchange Servers into your phone or Exchange accounts into your phone, we fully support that. In the area of documents and notes, with Windows Phone 7, we introduced the capabilities of having an aggregated view of everything that was Office-related in just one place, which we call the Office Hub. Also, we added capabilities for SharePoint and be able to connect to SharePoint Team Sites to have access to those documents that you are storing on those SharePoint Team Sites natively from the phone. We also allowed you to synchronize notes using OneNote from your phone to your PC and vice versa using either SkyDrive or SharePoint. So you could be able to kind of like collaborate and share and use notes in multiple different devices and keep all your notes synchronized using the backend system. Of course, allow you to view, edit, and modify documents in Excel and in Word and in PowerPoint. And, excuse me, we also provided support for viewing fully rendered applications in PowerPoint, and I'll show you a couple of demonstrations on that, and also edit documents on PowerPoint text on PowerPoint presentation. Now, with Windows Phone 7.5, we even expanded those capabilities to more things, like, for example, in email, being able to group your emails by conversation for more efficient communications with people. Pin specific email folders into your start screen, so I can show you that in a second. We also added support for information rights managed email, our IRM, or email with copy protection, and I'll show you that as well, in the phone, so you can have access to that information even when you are not connected into your PC. Search your server for additional emails. Set your out of office right from the phone. You don't even need to go to your PC to set your out of office when you are not, when you are either on vacation or when you are on a conference like this. Then in documents and notes, something that we added is also be able to extend IRM support, not just for email, but also for documents. View your documents in the same formatting that you have on the PC. So we improved a lot the way that you could actually see the documents in exact the same way that it was in the PC. And then also allowing you to not just using SharePoint for corporate documents, but also the capabilities of using SkyDrive for personal documents as well. So we allow those capabilities to be incorporated into Windows Phone 7.5. And then the other thing that we added in 7.5 was the capability of connecting to Link. So we released a Link application that connects to Link server, whether it is on-premise using Link on-premise 2010 or on the cloud using Office 365. And we fully supported there, chat with multiple colleagues, see what is the availability and from our colleagues when you're working in the Link environment, search for corporate contacts, update your status to show your availability to colleagues, and also be able to join conference calls right from your calendar appointment without you having to dial in the number and enter the PIN number to actually enter into a Link conference. So all those components we added into Windows Phone for Windows Phone 7.5. So this is very comprehensive, and this gives you a little bit of an idea of what are the type of things that we can do on the phone. But what I would like to do is, instead of like showing you these tables, is showing you a demonstration where I go through a typical scenario of basically how I use my phone to collaborate and to communicate with other people in a very business-oriented scenario. So for that, let me switch here into my other PC. You see my busy screen there? So now, let me just log in this. And hopefully the gods of internet are going to help us out during this session. You probably guys are very familiar with the fact that we're having serious issues with the Wi-Fi today. So it's going to some of the things that I'm going to be able to do are going to depend on the Wi-Fi that we have. Yes?
You can also use the phone for dynamics. We have made some applications.
Absolutely. There are applications already available in Marketplace to be able to connect to Dynamics, both Dynamics CRM, Nav, or AX from the phone. Yeah. So this is my phone here. As you can see, well, probably you have not noticed, but English is not my first language either. I'm from Peru, so I'm doing a little bit of a commercial there. That's Machu Picchu. It's a beautiful place. You should go. Anyways, so as you can see, this is my lock screen. And in my lock screen, I'm already being kind of like productive. And the way that we design this thing is that I can customize a picture, of course, but then I can see the hour, I can see the date, and I can see my next appointment coming directly from Exchange, so I know where I need to go without even unlocking my phone. So it's very, very well thought into the process of actually providing me with information that is relevant for me at any time. And in addition, if you see at the button, it's giving me notifications of how many emails I received since last time I used my phone and all those different type of things. If I swipe up, is going to bring up my PIN code requirement. And this is the first point of interconnection that we have with Exchange Server. So I can set up policies in Exchange that says that I'm forcing the phone to have a PIN lock, and if I don't enter this PIN lock correctly, it wouldn't allow me to actually access the phone. And if I also make a mistake of more than X amount of times, depending on the way that I set up the policy on the server, it's going to remotely wipe the phone, protecting the information that I have on the phone itself. So if I enter my super secret passcode that now everybody's going to know, I unlock my phone here. And as you can see, this is my phone. It's very personalized to me. These are my lifestyles here. And I can see my phone, the people that I work, my people here, my text messages, my email, my work email from there, my calendar, my Link application, and my Office application. And the good thing about Windows Phone is that these lifestyles allow me to personalize and customize the phone and make it really, really mine. To start with, those contacts are real people coming from my contact list. But if I swipe down here, you'll see that I have a more personal side of my phone down below, where I have my photos, my games, my music, and these are real photos coming from my album. And I have more things like here for example, applications. I have, for example, here three lifestyles for different places that I have, Lima, where I'm from, Sammamish, where I live, and Redmond, where I work, so I can know the weather in all those different places. But these lifestyles are pointing to one single application from, in this particular case, Weather Channel, so I can have multiple instances of the one single application running at the same time on my screen, giving me more information that I need. And going back into your question about, for example, having a Dynamics application, there are a couple of applications about Dynamics, specifically CRM for the example that I'm going to say about, that what they do, for example, is they allow you to pin different opportunities into the start screen. So if you're following, instead of having a generic lifestyle for the Dynamics application, I can have a lifestyle that is actually pointing me to one particular opportunity that right now is hot and I want to follow up, and send me notifications about that particular opportunity in my home screen at any particular given time. Or I could have, if I'm following two different opportunities, I can pin them both in different tiles on my search and giving me a nice way to actually follow up opportunities without me having to launch the application every time that I want to know what's going on in there. And again, that's some of the principles that we have in Windows Phone, trying to provide information and access to information quicker without you having to necessarily drill down into an app unless it's something that you explicitly need to do. So now if I go back into my top screen, what I wanted to talk a little bit about is how do we use this in on a business context, right? So if I go to my People Hub, for example, you can see that here I can have access to the most recent people that I've been interacting with. I can have access to all the list of people that I have in multiple places. These are people coming from Exchange, from Facebook, from Windows Live, from Sherp, from multiple different places. And I also have access to what they have been posting on internet. I can make comments right from there without a problem. So I can see what people is actually posting there without me having to go to a LinkedIn app or a Facebook app. I can consolidate everything here. But the interesting thing that I want to talk about is that sometimes when I'm on a business environment, I don't want to be focusing into all the list of people that I have here because I might have people only from work, etc. In this particular moment, I am working on a very important project for me that is a project called Project Profits. It's a project that we're focusing on for improving profits on the company. So I'm working with a very specific group of people in this project. So something that I can do is I can create groups that are actually focusing in specific groups of people. I have one for my family, so I can have access to my family at all time. But I can also have other one that I created for all my colleagues that are working with me in this particular project. And in just one place, now instead of looking all my list of contacts, I can have quick access to only the people that is working in this project with me. So it's easy for me to actually get access to them. And the most typical thing that I do now, since I'm project managing this project, is that I typically want to ask people for status updates, right? I want to know how things are going. So the only thing that I need to do once I've created my group is I just need to swipe down and then tap on send email. And it automatically asks me from which account I want to send this email, because I have personal accounts here and business accounts. And I can choose, say, for example, I want to send it from my Outlook account from work. And it automatically creates an email with all the people that is in that group, so I don't need to be typing those names individually. And I can just type here, status update, send, and in a couple of tabs, I'm able to actually ask for a status update for that group. And I can have multiple different groups for multiple different projects. So it's really easy for me to track what's going on with the things that I'm working on from the people perspective. Also, in addition, say, for example, that now I want to follow up specifically with Katie here on things that we've been working on. So I can open up her contact information card here. Now I'm drilling down into one particular individual. I can swipe to the side, and now I can see what's new specifically for her, not for the group, not for the whole amount of people, just for her. But I also, most importantly, can go back here and see what my history of conversations is with her. So in just one place, I can see emails, phone calls, text messages, voicemails that I have received from Katie in just one single place. And I'm just moving in there. So, for example, I can see here that she has sent me an email asking me for an updated PowerPoint presentation document. And I can click on that in there, and it automatically takes me to email without me actually opening up the email application. It's all connected, right? And it's showing me that actually this email that I had in there is not just one single email. It's a conversation with multiple emails in there. So I can just open up the first one, which was an email that I flagged earlier. And you can see, for example, that here is her asking me to review this presentation. I can open it up, just it's an attachment. And you'll see how we integrate Office in here and how beautiful it is, right? It looks. I have all the transitions and animations. Everything is embedded in there, so I don't need to actually get any additional application. But you see how beautiful it looks, the animations with inside the slide, the transitions in between the slides, all the animations that we have for the photos. They look exactly the same as they looked on the PC, so I can have a very clear understanding of what she's asking me to do. But she was asking me to review the presentation, not just to enjoy the presentation in presentation mode, right? So now I can see here that she has that the increase in profits for last year in those four locations in San Francisco was 8.7%. But I'm waiting here online for getting to a movie theater, and I realize that this is not the latest information. I know that it's actually 9.7%. So I can just click on the text and say that I want to edit it. Just click on the 8 and say that instead of 8, it's actually, say that it's actually 9, and save it. And there you go. In just a couple of seconds, I just edited my PowerPoint presentation here. It's 9.7% now. I can send this back into Katie, and she'll have access to the latest version of the presentation, and she's ready to actually roll and keep moving into the project. And I might have been on the train, might have been somewhere else, but I can still do the things that I need to do while I'm away. And that is kind of like a first way on the most ad hoc way to collaborate using email. I'll show you some other scenarios when we're showing SharePoint later on how we can do those things with SharePoint in a more enterprise-friendly way, if you will, or more collaboration way perspective. So let's go back into here, and I can go back into my history of conversation with Katie. So I can just go back into my start screen and then show you some of the ways that I can start collaborating with people. So in the communication scenarios, link is very important because this allows me to have actually synchronous type of conversations with people. I can see what their status is and if they are available or not, so to see if I want to engage with them. So similarly, as I had on my contact list, in my link application, I have also created a group that is called Project Profits. So I can actually contact through link very quickly people that I have working on this project. I can just click on it and expand it, and I can see who's busy, who's away, who's available, so I can contact them directly. Also, something that I can do is I can swipe here to the side and see all the conversations that I've been having with all these people. We keep track of the history of my conversations with them in Link. So I can go back into one conversation that, say, for example, I had with Lisa. And I come back in there and see that we were just exchanging IMs really quickly there, right? And then right from here as well, I can see what my status is. I can change what I'm saying that I'm doing. I can say here, for example, that I'm at... ticket. Right, so I can update that. And now this will get back updated into my link status update. So it's going to happen in there. You see it changed. And also I can change my status from available, and I can see that now I'm in a busy because I'm presenting here. And it'll change my status in the link server as well. So I'll show it as busy for everybody else. And then the other interesting thing is that say for example that I want to call here Lisa. If I open up Lisa's contact right here from Link, what I can do is I can give her a call. And the way that it works is that instead of calling from my cell phone, what is going to happen is that the cell phone, using voice, is going to call my Link server. The Link server is going to call using the PBX services, whether you have IP, an IP-based type of service there, or you're using your regular PBX, and it'll call Lisa. And then my office number, my office PBX is going to call me back and establish a connection. The benefit of that is that, number one, the person that I'm calling will never see my cell phone number. It'll see my desk phone number, because actually the PBX is calling that person. So I'm keeping my identity from the phone private from the other person that I'm calling. And then the second benefit is that, say, for example, you are calling somebody that is in another country. I'm in Netherlands here, and I need to call somebody at, I don't know, Spain. And I don't want to use international long-distance call. If I do it this way, the PBX is actually doing the long-distance portion, but my call from here to my office is just a local distance call. So it's a better way to actually do calls that are, in an ambient like here, where you have a lot of companies that have presence in multiple countries. It'll save costs in terms of like voice calling and things like that. So that's another interesting thing. But then the thing that I like the most about Link, really, for collaboration, I don't know how many, are you guys familiar with Link and Link Server, right? Great. So Link has also a service that allows you to establish conference calls. Have you been in many of these conference calls where you have to dial the number and then dial the ping number? And when you're in your cell phone driving in the car, driving all those numbers is a very dangerous thing. So what we have done here is that with the integration that we have with Link and with Windows Phone, I could basically just go to one of these appointments. Say, for example, I go to Friday, where I know I have one of these appointments here. And I have this appointment here for reviewing this RFP demo. I can just click on it, and you'll see that it has here a link that says Join Online Meeting. So instead of me having to dial the number and enter the code, I can just tap in there. It automatically recognizes that it's a Link call, and it'll invoke the Link application, and the Link application is going to dial the number, enter the code, and call me back. So I just tap once, and then I'm in the conference call. I don't need to do anything else. So it's super easy to actually, and I'm going to close this thing because right now it's a long distance call, and I don't want to do that. That way is going to be very easy for me to connect to these conference calls without having to actually dial all these numbers. So it improves the way that I actually am able to connect into these type of calls. And then I can always go back into the Link application and be able to see who's on the call and what their status is and things like that from the Link client application that I have on the phone. Additionally, now that I'm in the calendar, see, for example, that I have some items in green and some items in blue. So the items in green are the items that are coming from my Exchange account. This is my work calendar. And the items in blue are coming from my Windows Live calendar. We support Windows Live calendar and Gmail calendars and Facebook calendars. And all those appointments are going to show up here in different colors. So it's easy for me to consolidate all my calendars in just one place and see when I'm really busy versus when I'm just like having probably free time on my calendar in work, but I have something that I need to do in my personal calendar. So it's easier for me to track my time. So then the other area that is very important for a work-related type of things is in its Outlook, right? I mean, the way that I communicate with people through email. So if I go in that one, I can see here quickly my email. And one of the things that you'll notice is that I have a lot of email here, right? The things that are in gray are things that I have already read. The things that are in blue are things that are new emails that I have received. But if I swipe to the side, you see it's going to filter automatically and show me only the unread item, my new email. If I swipe again, it's going to show me only the flag emails that I have here, okay? So things that I have flagged on my PC to follow up later, the flags show up in here, and it's all emails that has flags. If I swipe again, you see I have only one email that is urgent from Keymakers, so I can have access really quickly to the things that are important and that I need to do something about it. Or I can swipe back and then go into the old view so I can see all the different emails that I have. My PC is going to sleep, I think. There we go. Okay. So now, something else that I can do, I don't know about you guys, but when you work into projects, don't you move emails from one folder to other to organize and keep your inbox a little bit more cleanly? Well, some people do, some people doesn't. And what we have done is that for people who do these type of things, remember I was working in this project Profits? So all the emails that I'm receiving related to that particular project, I'm moving into a different folder to organize my mailbox. So I can always go to folders, and I can see all the folder structure that I have there in Exchange. I can even show all the folders that I have in there. And here you see that I have my Profits project folder, which is where I'm moving all these emails that are for this particular project. So instead of me having to do this every single time, and I know this is a hot project right now and I want to have access to these emails really quickly, I can just click and hold on this and then pin this folder to start. And then from now on, I have a quick access to that folder right here from my start screen, and I don't need to do all this navigation. And if I have a rule in my Exchange server that automatically moves emails from my inbox into that folder, I'm also going to get here a notification that tells me how many new emails I have received into this particular folder. So if I click on it now, you'll see that instead of going into my inbox, I'm going directly into that project profits folder so I can have quick access to it. I can still swipe to the side and filter by unread, by flag. You'll see that here I have a different urgent email. It's not the one from Keymakers before. So it's different type of information. Now, the other interesting thing is that, as I said before, we fully support IRM in the phone. IRM is a way to secure information and prevent data leakage of email information that you have outside your organization. It allows you to apply policies into an email and copy protected it. So, for example, this email from Katie that I opened up now, the first one, this review RFP, do you see that little lock in there? That means that this email has been applied with IRM in Outlook on the PC. And it was sent with a specific policy attached to it. If I click on the lock, it'll tell me that I can read the email, but I'm not allowed to forward this email outside the organization or to anybody else that is not part already of the email right now. So this way, if you have something that is very data sensitive, you don't need to be sending these emails to other people. So this way, I know that the recipients of the email can read the message, but they cannot copy, forward, or send this email to somebody else. So I can close this thing. But the important thing is that I can still read the email. I can still see that it's due tomorrow morning and I need to do something about it, right? In other platforms like iPhone, iOS, or Android, you will receive this email. You'll see the subject here that says review RFP. But when you open up the email, it's going to tell you this email is copy protected. Please go back into your PC and open it up in there. So I cannot see the content of the email. So the problem with that is that even though I know there's an email there, I will never know that it was due tomorrow. And I'm going to be in trouble. So it is giving me access to the real information that I will need to have when I'm on my phone. Now, the other interesting thing is that what we really want to do is to protect the information on the email, right? I don't want to be sending this out. And some people, me sometimes, I don't care too much about the policy. I still want to send this to my biggest friend, right? So if I'm one like that and I just click on the reply button, you'll see that I can reply. I can reply all, but the forward button is disabled. So we are honoring also the policy on the phone itself, so we are not allowed to do any of those things. And also, if I want to, say, for example, go back here and try to copy, I cannot copy anything here. I cannot select and copy anything. So again, we're honoring those things the same way that we do on the PC, so you can have access to that information. So that's some of the examples that we have in there for using your email to collaborate, to have access to real information anytime that you are outside of your desktop environment, and we fully support all those capabilities on the phone. So we really think that we have a very comprehensive solution for email management here. Now, other interesting thing is that we talked about the fact that, for example, we also support conversation view. So here at the end, you see that I have an email from David E. Carl, and it has actually 12 messages, and 7 of them are unread. So that thing is not really one email. It's actually a conversation. And the way that you find it out is by looking at that vertical line that is into the left. Any of those that have a vertical line are not just one single email. They are a conversation. And if I click on it, it automatically expands the conversation so I can see the whole conversation without losing sight of the rest of my inbox, right? So I can see all these emails that I have in here. Now, the interesting thing is that some other platforms do conversation view as well. But what they do is they basically group by subject. So they look at all the emails that have the same subject, and then they group them by them. The difference of what we do here is that we use a conversation ID in Exchange. So even if you have emails that are part of the same conversation, but are living in different folders, we're going to pull them out as well. When you only group by subject, it is going to look only at that folder that you're sitting there right now. It wouldn't crawl into the other folders. So you see here, for example, this email from Tally Roth is part of that conversation, but it's in my folder Project X. It's not in the Project Profits folder. Then I do have some other emails here in Project X, and then these ones below are living on these folders. And if I would have probably some of these emails on my sent items, because I reply to the conversation, they are going to show up here as well. If I have emails that I left on my inbox, they're going to show up as well here, giving me the real view of this conversation, not me missing some of those emails important to the conversation that might be living in other different folders. So again, it's a more comprehensive way into how to implement conversation view in Windows Phone that we have in here. Now, one more piece that I would like to show you is how we do collaboration with Office in the phone. I don't know if you remember, but that email that I opened from Katie Jordan, the one that had IRM, it had a link in there, remember? That was a link. Actually, I'm going to open it up so you can see what I mean. But when I show you guys this. This email here has a link which is actually pointing into a SharePoint site, which is actually, remember when I showed you the attachment and I said there's better ways to actually collaborate with using SharePoint. So instead of sending attachments, which might get out of date depending on how many people is copying to the attachment and multiple people doing changes, you can also send a link to a document that is centrally stored on a SharePoint server, which is the case of this here. So if I open up this email, if I click on this link, the email knows that it's not just a browser, it's not just a web page that you want to go. It's actually a SharePoint site, and instead of opening up the browser, it opens up my SharePoint client with inside the phone. So it's intelligent to understand that, and it takes me to that same folder where Katie's asking me to go and actually review that information. Okay, so I don't even need to actually go to my Office Hub. I've been taken here directly. And I can open up this document that is it's an Excel spreadsheet that is actually living in this Office 365 SharePoint site. It's not even on-premise. This is on the cloud. And you see how beautiful it looks, right? We have fully Office there. You can see that Excel file. I can zoom in really quickly and easy. And then the other interesting thing is that you see that we can see the charts. We can see the values on the charts. We can see the labels. We can see all the information there. Now, in collaboration scenarios, one of the most common scenarios that are being used right now when people is collaborating is actually using comments, right? Because comments is something that you, in a phone, we fully support editing. I could enter formulas here. I could do whatever I want. But that's not the most common scenario on a phone. People doesn't want to be entering formulas on a screen like this size, right? But the typical thing that you want to do is probably looking at comments or adding comments. So I don't know if I zoom this in. I never know what does zoom in. Anyways, so when I expand this thing, you see that cell that I have, the cell C3, and it has a little blue triangle there. I don't know if you're familiar with this, but in Excel, that blue triangle means that you have a comment on that cell. So if I just click on that comment, it'll show the comment that I have in there, actually showing me the comments in this. No viewer, no Office clone out there for any of the other platforms allows you to see comments. And when you're collaborating in Exchange, or with SharePoint, I'm sorry, this is the most common scenario. And if you don't see the comment, you're not really seeing the full document. You're missing very important information. This applies for Excel, same thing for Word. In Word, I mean, you have a lot of people entering a lot of comments about paragraphs and things and making comments in there. So in this particular scenario, what I want to show you, and hopefully internet is working well on my PC and this works fine, and if not, please, I'll ask you to believe me, but it's on now. Okay, well, let's trust on that. So here I can see that I have total revenues and the total profits, but I need to present this to a customer on a meeting that I have in an hour. And I've noticed that I have this revenue by month column that is not filled up, right? And I need this information for my meeting. But I'm a little lazy. Even though I can enter the formulas on my phone, I don't want to do it. Since I'm working with a group of people, very good people that is back in the office working with me, instead of actually filling this up, I'm just going to add a comment here. I can add a comment myself from the phone and say to my team, fill this up while I enjoy my coffee here, right? So I just press back here, and I'll save the document. It's asking me if I want to save the changes. Again, hopefully this is working fine. Instead of saving the changes on the phone, we're actually saving the changes back into the SharePoint server automatically. So everybody on the SharePoint is receiving a notification saying there is a new version of the document. So to prove that, let me go back into my PC for a second. And I'm going to get out of here for just 1 second. And I'm going to open now that same SharePoint server from my PC. Now I'm playing the role of somebody back in the office who received a notification that there is a new version for the document. So I just opened, you see I have those same two folders, Profits Project and Thermopylae, those two folders that I had in there. And then I can go here, and I can see that same Excel file, right? Fabricam Financials. I'm going to say that I want to edit it with Excel. Yes, I trust it. It's opening up with Excel. And there you go. You remember, there's the first comment that was there already when I opened up the file. And here is a new comment that I just added on my phone. Fill this up. Okay, so I know that Augusto is back in a coffee shop waiting for me to fill this up. So I'll make it simple. This is revenue by month is equals total revenue divided by 12. Very elaborated. And then I fill this down back. Easy. Save it. Close it. There you go. That's what I needed to do. So then what I do is I go back into my phone here. And you see I am where I was before. I'm just going to go back into the start screen so you see, for example, some other examples here of the Office Hub. I can go into my Office Hub here because I could get through that link that I had on the email, but I also can get through some other ways. Like, for example, I can come here to my Office Hub where I see all my notes, and I can synchronize my notes with SharePoint and SkyDrive, as I said before. I can have access here, quick access to my most recent documents in my phone. And then here, I have access to my locations. I can see my team site, which, by the way, when I registered for Office 365, it automatically entered my team site in this pane of the Office Hub. I don't need to do it myself. Again, that's another level of integration and ease of use that we have embedded into the solution the way that we have it in here. I also have access to all the documents that I have stored on my phone, and I also have access to my SkyDrive personal documents that I have in my SkyDrive file. So if I go to the team site, you'll see that it's going to take me through the navigation of all the different folder structure that I have on that team site. I just go to the shared documents. Remember that I had two folders, Project Thermopylae and the Project Profits. They're there. Click on one. And it takes me to the exact same place that I arrived when I click on the link, remember? I'm just taking a different method to actually reach into the same point. So I'm there, and I'm going to open now the same file that I opened before, the Excel spreadsheet. So it brings the cached version, but the client is smart and is constantly checking against the server if there are new versions on the server. And if internet is working fine, it should tell me soon, hopefully. And it's not. This is usually what happens in this type of situations. Let's try again. It's opening the cached version that I had on the phone. I don't know if the... Let me see if Wi-Fi is working fine. Well, anyways, this is the part that you will need to believe me. It's going to give you a toast and a notification that says when you are connected online that there is a newer version of the document on the server and if you want to actually download that version. And once you do that, then you're going to have the latest version of the document down on the phone so you can have access to that and present that to your customer. Now, the other interesting thing, as you probably notice here and something that I wanted to show you, is that here on this column of total revenues, I can, of course, zoom this in, and I can see, I can do things like, for example, say that, for example, I want to see what the average revenue is for each one of the stores. I can just select the column, and then we added this component of the summatory button here, where I can have quick access to quick information, like, for example, the summatory of that of those sales that I selected, the average, the maximum, the minimum, and the count. So we're giving here quick tools to analyze the information that you have on the phone so you can have access to that really quickly at any time. So again, that is just a little bit of a quick overview of the things that we can do, and I show you connection with Exchange, connection with SharePoint, connection with Link, and all the major servers that we have in there. So now let's go back into our presentation and talk a little bit about what is required to actually make this whole thing happen. Where I was, are we back in there? Yes, where. So, basically the way that it works is that we build up the phone to connect to the infrastructure that you already have. And the way that we do this is by allowing you to enable the productivity by connecting on whether you have your infrastructure on-premise or online or in the cloud. We want you to utilize your existing infrastructure to reduce and minimize costs. And the idea there is to use existing Exchange deployments, existing SharePoint, existing Link deployments. And we manage the phone through Exchange, so you can use the same thing that you already know and through Exchange policies to basically manage those phones in a very simple way. And then we comply with corporate IT policies and protect your business information by policy management that I'll talk to you about in a little bit more detail. So the first thing is integration that we have with Exchange, whether on-premise or on the cloud. We fully support both Exchange, SharePoint, and Link on-premise or via Office 365. And the phone is very smart to auto-recognize if you have auto-discovery enabled on your on-premise server, which one you are using. And it doesn't really require anything other else than just entering your email and your password from the end user perspective, and it automatically recognizes your if it is an Exchange server deployment or if it is an Office 365 deployment, and it'll enter all the information required for the system to work. And it also, as I said before, supports multiple Exchange Active Sync accounts or EAS accounts. This is pretty important because it's not just about corporate emails. It can certainly work on that, and I'll give you a couple of examples later on. But it's also important because services like Windows Live or Gmail are using EAS or Exchange Active Sync to provide push email to their customers. And that's one of the key reasons why we also wanted to support more than one Exchange Server EAS account, because we wanted to be able to support Gmail accounts, Windows Live accounts, and Exchange accounts all at the same time. And they're all using EAS now. Now, specifically in the case of Exchange, we are fully EAS compliant, and we actually support the latest implementation of EAS, which is the 14.1 version of Exchange, which is basically Exchange Server 2010 Service Pack 1. And that is the latest EAS type of implementation that Exchange has today. But we also support all the Exchange Servers implementations since Exchange Server 2003 Service Pack 2. Of course, there is going to be limited functionality in terms of the things that you can do depending on which version of Exchange Server you are in, but it's going to allow you to, we support all of those with different levels of capabilities, if you will. We, as I said before, we also fully support Office 365. Auto-discovery, again, it allows end users to automatically connect, and the only thing that an end user has to do is to enter the email and password, and that's it. I mean, once you enter that information, Exchange automatically provides the rest of the information that the phone requires to connect to the service. And as I said before, we support multiple EAS accounts, and I'll tell you a little bit what are the implications of this type of support in a second. Now, SharePoint. This is interesting because you have to be aware that there is a dependency here, and we do require SharePoint Server 2010. So we don't support any previous version of SharePoint. It does require SharePoint Server 2010. It can be on-premises, or it can be hosted. Or it could also be as part of Office 365 SharePoint Online Services. What we do need is that if the SharePoint instance is behind the firewall, we do need that you publish an SSL, that we allow connections through SSL back into the SharePoint server, if it is behind the firewall. If it is in front of, if you're using Office 365, then there is no need for that. And then also it provides users with productivity and collaboration tools that are required for routine business. So as you can see, as you saw in the presentation that I showed you, we allowed, through the SharePoint client, to fully have access to folder structures on SharePoint and be able to collaborate with documentation. Now, we circumscribe our services with SharePoint through the Office Hub, specifically to management of documents and document collaboration. If you have workflow applications in SharePoint or something more advanced than just document collaboration, then it does require build up a client application for Windows Phone to take advantage of those things. So the native document collaboration out of the box that we have in SharePoint is what we support through the SharePoint client in the Office Hub. For Link, as I said before, We work perfectly with Link 2010. Of course, that's the first version of Link. Before that, it was called Office Communication Server, OCS. We do require Link to actually make this work, so we don't support OCS. And the Link client allows you to do things like, and we also support Link on-premise 2010 or as part of the Office 365 package. Something really interesting is that when you subscribe to the Office 365 package, it automatically recognizes if your package includes Link, and if it does, it automatically takes you to the marketplace, to the place where exactly Link is stored, so you can download the application, the Link application, into your phone automatically. And it tries to do all these things the most automatically possible, so it reduces the requirements of interaction by the end user. But what it allows you to do is basically what I showed you in the demo. It allows you to view VC availability and chat with work colleagues. I didn't show you this, but it allows you to have multiple people conversations. So you don't need to have just one IM with one person. You can have multiple people on a conversation at the same time. It searches for corporate contacts. I didn't show that either. It also updates to status, allows you to update your status and show your availability to your colleagues. I show you guys that. Join link conference with a single tap. I show you guys that as well. But then also, as I said before, as opposed as Office and Outlook, which are embedded and included on the phone itself, for Link, it requires that you download a free Link application from Marketplace and install it into your phone. But again, when you have Link auto-discovery enabled, the only thing that you need to enter into the Link application is your user, your email, and your password, and then Link gets configured automatically on the client. So that's a very, very, very straightforward process in there. Now, it builds on your existing investments, and the reason why we say this is because we fully support best-in-class communication and collaboration with Exchange and with other EAS-supported email. We, of course, as I said before, connect to Exchange Server, but also to Hotmail and Gmail. So if you have a Gmail account, we fully support synchronization of email, contact, and calendar. Same thing with Windows Live and Hotmail. So you can have all those contacts coming into your People Hub and be combined with your Exchange contacts, with your Facebook contacts in just one place. I think we've already discussed most of these things already. It doesn't require any middleware because it connects directly with through Exchange Active Sync. And this is the screen that basically has, when you do not have enabled Exchange Active Sync auto-discovery on your server, which might be the case in some of your organizations for, say, security or some other policy that I might not be aware of, this is the capabilities that you also have to actually enter one by one all the information that is required to connect to your Exchange server. So you can decide the email address, the password, the username, the domain, the server, and all those type of information so you can actually set up your account in a more customized way depending on how your settings are set up on the server. Now, from the policies perspective, these are the policies that we basically support at a high level in Windows Phone when we connect to Exchange. And most of these policies are related to password security and to lock the device after inactivity. So basically, we support the policy for password required. So you can set up and turn on the policy that says that if a phone is connecting to Exchange server, it does require a password. If you don't set up a password on your phone, it won't allow you to connect to Exchange server. Also, we have the password expiration policy that requires you to change the password into whatever value you have set up into a policy, every 4 weeks, every 18 weeks, whatever you design that policy to be. We have also a password history, which basically says that you cannot repeat a given number of passwords in a given amount of time, so you cannot change your password to be the same password as your previous password, right? So you have to actually change your password. We also have a policy that is about allowing simple password or not. Allowing simple password means that you allow or not allow to have passwords like 1111 or 1234. And it requires a more complex type of password that is not just consecutive numbers or the same number repeated 4 times. So you can customize that policy to allow or not allow those type of passwords. Then also you can specify the minimum password length. You can say that the password has to be 4, 6, 8, 18, whatever is your policy requirement for that. We also have a complex PIN passcode support, which means that you can also enforce that the passcode has to be an alphanumeric password and not just a combination of numbers. You saw that the one that I had was 1346, I think, which was just numbers, but you can actually set up a policy that forces the end user to have a password that combines numbers with letters. So that we can enforce as well. And of course, all these policies are applied automatically over the air to the phones that are connecting to that Exchange server. And if at any given point of time you change the policy, that new policy is going to be set up into the Exchange server directly. Now, of course, we also have another policy around lock device after inactivity timeout. So that what means is that you can set up a policy that says how quickly you want that phone to be automatically locked when it's not being used, right? So you can force that is every minute it gets locked, or every 5 minutes it gets locked automatically, and all those type of things. Did I turn it on? Was that me? Oh my God, I'm power. Anyways, and then finally, there's also capabilities to be able to wipe lost or stolen phones remotely from the console. So what we can do is we can set up a device wipe threshold. So what that means is that you can set up a policy that says if somebody enters a password wrong 3, 5, 10 times, you set up the policy the way that you want it, the phone is going to automatically reset itself and delete all the information that is on the phone itself. But also we fully support remote wipe. And you can do remote wipe in multiple different ways. You can remote wipe your phone from your Exchange console as an IT administrator, or you can also enable the capability so an end user can self-remote wipe their phone using OWA, Outlook Web App. So you can go to Outlook Web App, and if that capability is enabled, then in options, you're going to have an option to remotely wipe yourself, your own phone, if you lost it and it was a Sunday and you couldn't reach anybody on IT and you're desperate for remotely wiping your phone, you can do that from there, no problem at all. And as of course, as I said before, we fully support multiple EAS accounts. And that brings the interesting situation where you can have also multiple policy sets, right? Imagine that you're connecting to two different Exchange servers and you have different type of EAS policies, like the ones that we have just described, in those two EAS. Which one do you own? So this is something that basically tries to explain that particular situation. So the way that we do it, as opposed to some other implementations, which basically takes the latest or the last EAS that you implemented, it overrides everything else that you had before. The way that we do it is actually we go account by account and we go policy by policy. So what happens is that, for example, if in the account number one, the one that I set up first on the phone, the password required is on, so it's requiring to have a password. The password expiration is off, so we don't require people to actually change the passcode at all. You can set up the first time and then it can stay there forever. And then the inactivity timeout is 1 minute. So every minute that you're not using your phone, it goes back into lock. Okay? Then you set up a second account, which different type of policies. You're connecting to a different Exchange server, right? You have a different Exchange server. And the password required is on, so it's the same one as the first one. The password expiration is on, so you have to change your passcode every 3, 5, whatever weeks or whatever it is. So it's different from that one. And the inactivity timeout is 5 minutes. Okay? So what we do is we actually go account by account and policy by policy, and we choose always the most secure one. So what we do is, in this case, since this one is the same, we choose on. In this case, password expiration, one is off, the other one is on, we pick up the second one. But in this case, the inactivity timeout in the first one is 1 minute, while in the other one is 5 minutes. We take the ones from the first one. So we apply the policies that are the most secure in our one-by-one cases. So we think we do it in the most responsible way possible, not overriding something that might be more secure than another one. So that's how we implement security issues in here. So that is basically what we were going to be covering on the talk. What I will really encourage you guys to do in the next sessions is to actually go to these two sessions. There's a session tomorrow, 2:45, which is called Security Deep Dive, that Alan Mews is going to be driving. He's going to be talking about securing Windows Phone 7.5, and he's also going to be giving a preview on what security is going to mean on Windows Phone 8. So he's going to actually be talking about encryption and how we're going to be doing all the different type of security enhancements in Windows Phone 8. So I will really recommend you guys to go in there. The second one is also very important. If you can participate on that one, which is on Thursday at 8:30 in the morning, it's also Alan Mews, and he's going to be talking about device and application management. And that is going to be also focusing a lot into what is new that we're bringing in Windows Phone 8 about device management and about application management. So I will encourage you guys to go into those two, because they expand a lot of what I discussed with you today. Not just focusing into what we have in 7.5, but he's also going to be giving a little bit of a preview of what's coming on those specific topics in Windows Phone 8. Okay? So I will encourage you guys to go to those two sessions. I just want to highlight those two because I think they are very related to this particular topic, and it could be a very interesting drill down. And Alan can answer questions that I just cannot answer. So it's good to go there. So in summary, these are the things that we've covered today. Those are the two pillars that we were talking about initially, which is the fact that we built Windows Phone 7 from the beginning about thinking on how to provide a solution for enterprises to use Windows Phone in the most business productivity possible way. And we do that by using existing Microsoft technologies and embedding them into the phone in a way that makes sense, as I hopefully I was able to make it the point during the demonstrations that I show you. So Outlook and Office built-in is a key component of what we have in Windows Phone. And again, hopefully through the demonstration you saw how that thing really shines and how that thing really allows me to be very productive when I'm away from my desk. And then also, it does integrate with existing Windows or Microsoft infrastructure and how it connects to Exchange, to SharePoint, and we talked a little bit about the different dependencies that we have in there. So with that, what I wanted to do is some other things that you could do to actually get more information about things is that we're going to have product demo stations at our, in the expo about corporate developers and IT pros, so you can go there and find out more if you have a detailed information or a more detailed question that we could cover here. We're also going to be doing demo theater and the Technical Learning Center in the expo as well, where we show a little bit of hands-on experience with Windows Phone 7.5, which you can actually do there. And we're also going to be doing demos of a little bit of a preview of what's coming for Windows Phone 8. So I really encourage you guys, if you have not been able to go into any of our sessions on that, to go to the demo theater there and experience there some of that thing that we have in there. By the way, we're going to be giving away one Lumia 900 every hour for all the people that went into that demo theater, so it's kind of like a nice treat in there. And then also, if you want to talk to me a little bit more, for any particular reason, you can find me later at the expo today at the welcome reception. I'll be there, and I'll be there a couple of days after today as well over there. Also, we have a full track of our Windows Phone. We just went through the first three sessions that we had today on Tuesday. We're actually on the last session of today. But then on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we have a lot of sessions that are going to be very interesting for multiple different topics. The two ones that I mentioned are about security, and then the other one about device management and application management. But we also have a lot of sessions that are around development on the platform and marketplace enhancements that we have done. So I really encourage you to look at the track that we have and see if we can attend to some of those. And then some of the, well, these are the typical resources that we have on the place. And then please submit your evals online if it is working, but hopefully it is already. But please do so. It's very helpful for us because it helps us out become better for the future. So with that, don't go away. What I would like to do is I would actually like to... Can we turn on the lights, please, so I can see people now? So what I would like to do is I'm going to ask a question, and the first hand that I see, and you'll have to spread here with me, it's going to be a little bit over my eyes, and have the right answer, not yet, you have to have the right answer, we'll get a phone. Let's see. Not yet. So, all right. To connect to SharePoint server, what is the version of SharePoint that we require? The first hand was back there over there, sir. Yeah, you won. That was 2010. There you go. So what you get is a Lumia 900. So with that, thank you very much. I'm going to be available here for questions if you want to. And otherwise, I'll see you later on the expo later on. Thank you.